So I'm going to continue my conversation that I had with the kids. I'm going to talk to you about the reading from 2 Thessalonians that we heard. And I want to talk about the dignity of our work that each of us does, whether it's paid, whether we're paid money for it, or whether it's our occupation on all kinds of other ways that all of us do, the dignity of that, of what we do. And also about making the crooked straight and how that's part of what we do. So I don't know if any of you saw this week, there's a new, there was an article about the new Japanese prime minister. She was talking about the fact that she gets, she said 2 to 4 hours sleep a night. She said if she's really getting a good sleep, it's going to be 4 hours. And she was noted for having called a staff meeting at 3 o'clock in the morning, which she expected everybody to show up at. And she said there's this issue in Japan I was reading. I don't know anything about it, but they're saying issue in Japan about work-life balance. It's a real problem. And she said, yeah, I do not believe in work-life balance. I don't believe in work, rest, work, rest. I believe in work, work, work. And that's what you can expect from me. I don't know, maybe that's reassuring to the people of Japan to know their prime minister is working that hard. But as I was saying to the kids, St. Paul is also similarly in favor of work. And as you just heard, he's really pretty harsh on people who do not contribute. He says he cannot abide people he calls idlers, and because people who are idlers soon become busybodies, and then everything kind of comes apart. So people need to concentrate, and they need to work. So take me as your example, he says. I don't know, when I think about St. Paul, I kind of have an image, maybe from an ancient icon, but I don't have an image of him until I'm reading this, of St. Paul going to the marketplace and arguing about the cost of olives or something. But he says, take me as your example. I work, I made tents, as I was saying to the kids, and I don't live off. I mean, although he said, I have every right as a minister of the gospel to have hospitality offered to me 24/7, I don't rely on that. I work, I make my own money, I buy my own groceries, I go argue with the price of food in the market by myself, I'm not dependent on anybody. And so you can see, like the Japanese prime minister, I don't know if you've ever read the Book of Acts or not, but this guy has got a lot of energy. You know, he's preaching, he's teaching, he's sailing by ship around the Mediterranean, he's getting arrested, he's going back again, he's making tents, he's doing everything, and this is all before breakfast. And then he gets up and does it all again. He's just relentless in his activity. So I guess what's the message of today's reading? It is work, 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 like the Japanese prime minister said. That's the lesson today. So you just go home after today. You go work, work, work. But something else. It's a little bit more nuanced and a little bit deeper than that. So St. Augustine, I'm sure somebody scientifically minded may help me understand this better, but St. Augustine, writing back in the 5th century, says, here's something to notice. If you look in nature, at least back in the 5th century, if you look in nature, there is no such thing as a perfectly straight line that goes on forever. Everything is, you know, kind of crooked in one way or another, and it's not perfect. There's no perfectly straight line that goes on to infinity. However, the place where there is that is in our minds. He says, so what is this? How is it the fact that we can't see it? But we have this idea in our minds of a perfectly straight line. And so the lesson is, I guess, since this is implanted in our minds, the idea, for example, of perfectly straight lines, of perfect order, is that we should all become engineers. Or something like that. Or that God wants us to help him. And this is a very biblical, deep biblical idea. God wants us to help him continue to create order in the world. Maybe it's as an engineer, maybe it's in construction, maybe it's as bookkeeping, maybe it's tidying up the kitchen, maybe it's just making your bed in the morning. God wants us to assist him in the ongoing work of creation. And in fact, if you read the Old Testament, it surprises me every time I see this, God is often described in terms of a construction worker. He's measuring things, he's building things, he's using plumb lines. And I says, as I mentioned to the kids, Jesus in the Gospels is described as, the word is tekton, which means somebody who is a craftsman, probably a contractor, somebody who helped build houses. And if you're going to build a house, you have to measure things, you have to make sure the lines are straight, you have to be orderly, and you have to have attention to detail. So whether it is the Taj Mahal, whether it's building the Taj Mahal, or whether it's just making our bed in the morning, this is the same principle at work. God wants us to help make the crooked things straight. He wants us to help him continue with the ongoing work of creation because we're made for a purpose. And this is a point I really want to emphasize, because in our culture, I'm not going to bore you with a lecture of this, but one thing that's happened in our culture is only work which is paid for is really elevated to the point of being important. But the truth is that all our work has dignity. And by work, I mean not just having a job, not just the stuff we're paid for, but everything from going to school to having a job to straightening a tablecloth to mending a broken heart. This is all the work that God has for us in terms of making the crooked straight and continuing to bring order and dignity and beauty to the world. So think about everything you do during the course of a week. And I don't know if anybody ever says to themselves, I don't know if this matters or not, what I'm doing. It does matter. So here's something in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that was a new revelation, and it's this. You lived in the ancient world. There were the big gods, right? The gods that made the universe. Usually they weren't very nice, and usually it was quite violent the way they made the universe, but they're the big gods. They're in charge of the big stuff. But they're not really that interested in ordinary people. So you had the little gods, right? These little gods, and they were worried about you maybe a little bit, but they couldn't really do very much. The revelation in the Old Testament is this. The big God who made the universe is as interested in the small details of your life as he is in making the universe. Both are equally important to him. There is no such thing as people who don't matter. There's no such thing as the things we do in our lives don't matter. It's important. It's as important to him as the Big Bang. That's what the Old Testament reveals to us. So there is no matter, you know, whether we're at a prime of life and we're building things, or whether we're maybe not feeling that great and we're tired and we can't do what we did at one time, it doesn't matter. It's all equally valuable, even if what we do are able to do is to pray even then we're helping make the crooked things straight. So do we need to be like the Japanese Prime Minister? I'm not getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning for any meetings, I'm gonna tell you. And not a morning person. I don't, is that even the morning? It's the middle of the night, I think. But maybe God made her that way for a purpose. Maybe that God made her because he needed the Prime Minister of Japan to be sleeping 2 hours a night because of, I don't know, the fate of the world or something. But that's not what God is calling the vast majority of us to. St. Paul says, there's this line in the psalm. It says, we each have our own fair acre. That is, we each have our own little plot of land. And what God asks for us to do is to tend our own little plot of land. And if we do so, that's really important. And that's what he made us for. So Paul says, this is the tradition. Important word. This is the tradition. This is what I have handed on to you that has been handed on to me from Christ. And that is this. Work productively. I mean, Jesus himself, as we've heard, was a productive worker, was trained to be one, was a craftsman who made things. Paul himself made things, was creative and productive. This is the teaching. So do this yourself. You are a new creation in Christ. So go create things. Not so that we exhaust ourselves and we don't have time for recreation. That's not his point. It's this. What you do matters. Even the smallest things you do matter. You're assisting God in his creation of the world, in making the crooked thing straight. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you that you have made us in your image and you have given us stewardship of the world and given us stewardship of our lives, this small and beautiful and important areas of responsibility you've given us. Give us a deep sense of the importance and dignity of what you have given us in our homes, in our friendships, in our work, in everything we do. And give us the will and the desire and the sense of the importance of attending to our own fair acre and with your grace of making the crooked things straight through Jesus Christ our Lord.